Proverbs chapter 4. I want to talk to you about your heart. I had some chest pains the other day, so I went to my general practitioner. He checked me out and he sent me to a cardiologist. And I got on the treadmill. You know, we're responsible for our health, so I wanted to go, you know, pop the hood and get my oil change every 3,000 miles. I thought I ought to, you know, get a little check up on the inside. So I was in there and the nurse told me to put my gown on, and she came back in and she went, "Ah, good. It's 2-0. Men are losing." I said, "What?" She said, "I told you to put that on back way. You put it in the front. You tied it in the front. The guys are losing today." You know, and it's like, you're making me feel bad right here, man. Okay, so anyway, so then she was all gleeful. I said, "Thanks, I let all of my gender down." But anyway, I went, said, "You guys don't listen to rules." I said, "Well, every time I see these," she said, "Yeah, I know, but I wanted you to have it around the other way, you know." And so, like, so then I got over to the treadmill, and then the doctor delayed, and he was doing this esophageal thing, and he was checking this other gentleman out, who is, in fact, I had seen him in the waiting room, looked a little anxious. And he came walking up with like a big gulp of coffee, which I thought, when you see a cardiologist walk up with some coffee, it's kind of encouraging, you know, because I said, "Man, you're walking up with coffee. I didn't have my coffee this morning." He said, "Too bad for you." He said, "I need this." I was like, right on, man. I like a cardiologist drinking coffee. So then he said, he had waited, you know, he delayed me 15 minutes, and he said, "You know, I found an aortic embolism in that man that would have killed him." And he was so happy that he discovered something that you would not have seen. It wouldn't have gone undetected. It was a situation that saved the man's life. So I sat there and I got to hear all this, and then he interpreted it for me and gave me layman's terms. You know, the reason I was there is because I know that the physical heart is important. Yeah. But I also know from this verse in Proverbs chapter 4 that the heart, the hidden person of the heart, your inner man, that part of you that's eternal, that part of you that is spiritual, is what I want to talk about tonight. And by the way, I want to say that he said, "I only can give out 99%ers. You're 99% good to go for no problems," you know. So then I talked to my friend Rick Houghton, and, you know, he and I had heart pressures when we worked at Grace on staff. We both got our test, and then we had it, and when we were in our 20s, and we had it again, and he said, "I guess it's not physiological. I guess it's spiritual. We need to pray." And I thought, amen. And we had a good talk about it. So I'm cool. I'm good to go. He gave me 99%. That's cool. Yeah, I'm happy about that. So I tie that in with this. Verse 23 of chapter 4 of Proverbs says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." Watch over your heart with all diligence. And here's why. "For from it flow the springs of life." From it flow the springs of life. Now, my physical heart is this pump that's central in my system. You know this, that it pumps through arteries and retrieves through veins and so forth and goes and replenishes my whole system all the way to my extremities. It brings oxygen to my brain. It carries all these benefits through every part of my system. They say there are miles of arteries and veins. I think it's fascinating. And you can learn a lot from the natural aspects of things. But this is talking not about our physical pump. This is talking about this part of us that God wants us to tend to, so that something of springs of life or rivers of living water. It says in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 38, it says, "When you're a believer, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Well, it's basically, essentially, New Testament verse, sister verse to this point. And we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know that in Peter, he talked about women. He said, "Don't just let your adorning be outward only, but let it also be the adorning of the hidden person of the heart." There was a Seinfeld program where Kramer was wearing sweatpants that were gathered on the bottom out in public. And Jerry Seinfeld said, "Don't do that. When you wear those in public, you're telling the world that you've given up." Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So let me just make a quick commentary on that. I think it's important to stay presentable and current on the outward. Take good care of your body. The Bible says that physical exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable in all things, in this life and the life to come. So what I'm saying to you is, as important as it was for me to go to my doctor and have him refer me to the cardiologist and get on the treadmill and get a test, just to have those things worked out, just because I knew nobody else is going to do it for me. I didn't want to bother my family and talk to them about it. I thought, this is something I better tend to. It's been going on for a few days. I don't want to play any games with it. So I went in and submitted to this thing and got embarrassed by the nurse because I didn't follow orders with the deal. You know, but then I got on that treadmill and the guy said, hey man, you're in, you know, you're on the right percentile and everything's great, and you know. So, and I went away from that place knowing that I had a checkup and it was cool. I'm driving down the highway and it made me even all the more aware of the value. Okay, you're tending to your physical heart, Jeff, but the Bible says guard, keep, watch over, tend to that spiritual part of you with all diligence. So I was a little bit negligent. I mean, I put it off for a few days. Then I finally went and I got serious about it. I don't want to do that spiritually. I mean, even with Kramer wearing the gathered sweatpants and giving up and walking around the world like he's given up, I think believers need to be presentable and current. But it's, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And he's actually wanting to pour out something called rivers of living water out of that part of you. So what I see in this verse is, as important as it is for my body to have a healthy heart, it's important for me in my life and my walk with God to guard my heart. Now, we're to guard our heart from a lot of things like bitterness, unforgiveness, worldliness, unconfessed sin. We guard our heart from a cold heart. We could have a hard heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, it said, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You know, there'll be hardness of heart because of the deceitfulness of sin. People's love will grow cold. So we have to understand as Christians, if we're going to honor the Lord in an effective way, we have the responsibility of guarding our heart. This verse again says, watch over your heart with all diligence. It doesn't say, I put an alarm on your spiritual system and whenever it gets off track, I'm going to go beep, beep, beep. Now, in a sense, he does. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He's given us a conscience. How many of you notice your conscience is different since you've become a Christian? Well, yeah, because God is central in your life and his parameters and his perspectives, his commands are paramount to you and me now. And so we can't do the things we want to do. We're ruined to sin. There's a sort of a Geiger counter that picks up radioactivity when we get off track. And we need to learn to yield to that. Now, what I want to say to you in the incentive part of this is kind of exciting. It says, from it flow the springs of life. And I want to talk about that springs of life thing, because what this is really saying to the Hebrew mind that's reading the Proverbs, or to the people that in John's gospel when Jesus was preaching, he said, man, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. When you're a believer, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that those, you know, we know what rivers do. Rivers replenish. They mean they cause vegetation to grow. We know how important water is. And it's symbolic and representative of the moving of God's Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. So this, just as important as it was for me to get on the treadmill with my little smock and have them put all those little stickers on me that when they tore them off, you know, I felt like I needed to have, you know, somebody will look at those rashes they created on my body. It took a lot of time. It took my morning. It was, you know, it was like a serious thing. The lady put goop all over me, and then she had me get my heart rate up to 165, and then I had to lay there and hold my breath. She said, hold your breath. It's like, she goes, I know it's hard. Just hold your breath. And my heart was going, it's like a little Mexican jumping bean in there, just going, just pounding, you know. And in fact, it knocked the thing right out of her hand because it was, no, it didn't. It didn't. But this is important. The heart is central. Heart life is underestimated. No methods, no techniques can substitute for a real heart Christian. The heart of the matter is what we must pursue with passion. And we need to be reminded of this. It just shows how far we've fallen from the life we were meant to live, or how powerful the spell has been on the whole culture. The world is so becoming so superficial, and we as believers need to go all the deeper into God and into his heart to understand his heart and his ways. And then just recognize and consider some of these verses. You don't have to turn to this, but it says in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your heart. See, that implies we're not to have a divided heart, but love the God with a whole heart. And Jesus actually called this the greatest commandment of all the commandments, to notice that the heart comes first. Heart life is the most important. 1 Samuel 16:7 is where it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And like I say, Christians need to be current. I mean, we don't need to be trendy and faddish. We don't need to throw away tons of money on stuff that I think we just need to be presentable, keep everything clean. We don't need to just wear the sweatpants gathered in the ankles and say we've given up. We need to get out there and be fresh, because people do evaluate us. They do evaluate a book by the cover.
Yeah, they do.
Is that okay if I talk like that?
Yeah.
However, nothing can substitute for the heart thing, because God looks at the heart. Luke 12:34 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, your heart is going to follow what you value and what you're interested in. I hope tonight, as I'm sharing this, it inspires you that you want more than anything those rivers of living water to flow out, because it brings honor and glory to God, and it brings salvation and help, answers and love and comfort and care to the world around us. The testimony of the little baby that was having struggles with walking, you know, here's somebody who said, hey, I have a heart for that. I have a soft spot in my heart for that, because that was my situation. And so she stepped in there and gave what she had and what she knew from her experience, maybe even a painful experience, and transformed that in rivers of living. That's where rivers of living water, that was a manifestation of rivers of living water, springs of life flowing from the heart of a person who took a little bit of extra time, and it had such an impact. I want to say to you, there are a lot of strategic setups the Lord has for us that the enemy wants us to be so cloudy, so covered over in our hearts, that we're not apt or ready or responsive to those situations. So what I propose to you is that as we guard our hearts by just starting our day with God and watching what we put into our lives and spending time in His presence and learning how to cultivate a strong heart. Martin Luther said, he studies well who prays much. In other words, the closet life, the prayer life, is where our heart, we're going to get the very best spiritual cardio workout. And developing connection and daily maintenance in this flow with God is going to give us a sensitivity and a receptivity to follow the Master's voice, I'm convinced, on a higher level. And we're going to get some very cool stuff happening out of this thing.
Yeah.
My proposal to you is this. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I want to give you a heads up that sensitivity in your spirit is going to put you at high advantage. So getting dull in your spirit, getting kind of lethargic and letting it just go, is going to put us at a disadvantage. So guard your heart, or keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Puts us in an awareness that for this little brief lifespan we have, God just may be setting us up as the primary representative to somebody that's on the brink of eternity somewhere at some point, somewhere every day, everywhere we go. He might want to prompt us to pray a mountain-moving prayer. He may be wanting to prompt us to give to someone, or to call someone, or to encourage someone. And I'm saying that there are rivers and springs of living water. And apart from our personality and apart from all those kinds of inclinations, God has gifted the body of Christ, and His Holy Spirit is just all over the place. The Bible says that after Jesus would ascend, He would send His Holy Spirit and pour it out on all flesh. So that included the early church, that included the Middle Ages church, the modern church, 21st century church, us. And He said He'd pour out His Spirit on His bondservants, on His handmaidens, that's men and women, kids, seniors, everybody in between. So when we see Proverbs chapter 4 and it says, guard your heart, watch over your heart, keep bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and all those things out of the way. I mean, here's the thing. I know before I do a meeting and I come to preach, I had better have my heart right, because I am now responsible to stand before you and minister some sort of spiritual nutrition, and it better be coming from a clean pipe. But I don't just have this relegated to right before a meeting, I better get my heart right. Okay, get my heart right. And then go out and be a hypocrite. Because God wants the rivers of living water to flow out, not only in a pulpit, but also in a dental chair and at the children's ministry and at your job. Some of the greatest miracles God wants to do in this modern church in the 21st century, out of these four walls, in very interesting little normal, little quote, little regular old situations. It's not just like, well, the pastor needs to get prayed up and the worship leader needs to get prayed up and be sensitive to the Spirit because God just might have him do some kind of spiritual stuff. Absolutely. You have to understand, he wants to do that through all of us.
Yeah, that's right. He does.
So the Proverbs doesn't say, you preachers and rabbis, keep your hearts with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life, because you and only you get to have springs of life flowing out of you. No. It said he pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Remember, I didn't get saved at church. I got saved hitchhiking in 1962 in Palo with a Vietnam veteran that didn't do a good job of witnessing. But he did the job, and the Word of God had life to it. It has a life of its own. A little bit of river, a little living water went whoop out of the guy, and it went into my little dry place and just whoop. And then God poured out his Spirit on it, and then I called on the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was on it, and it did this thing. And this miracle happened to me. 16 to 51, and it feels exactly the same as it did then, because he makes all things new.
Amen.
So every day with Jesus is fantastic, and we are anointed or empowered by God, if we'll see this and understand this, to guard our heart, to watch over our heart. Where our treasure is, there our heart will also be. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Listen, God wants us to have our hearts in a trusting mode that his promises are true. A trusting mode that there are springs of living water flow out of our lives.
Yeah.
There are things on the other side. You may have had a crummy few weeks, but I'm telling you, on the other side of time, of this moment, as we get ready to move forward in time, be assured that your steps are ordered by the Lord, that he watches over his word to perform it, that he orders our steps, you guys. Peter and John are going to the prayer on that hour, and the guy was there, and he said, we don't have any money on us, but such as we have, we give. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the guy is jumping all over the place and walking and leaping and praising God. You know, he said, what we have, we give. When you guard your heart, you start to remember who you really are. You don't forget what kind of person you are. You realize, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm bought with a price. That these works and greater works shall I do because Jesus has gone to be with the Father. Dare we say it? That's not what we said. It's what the Scripture says. We're created for signs and wonders to follow us. And some of them are pretty dramatic. And some of them might just be sort of not that exciting. But the exciting part is, it's anything God has us do is going to be, in somebody else's life, is going to be, well, the person that led me to Christ had no outward indicator that it had any impact. I stayed real subdued. I argued with him. I told him, yeah, it's good you found something for yourself. And I'm sure he closed when the door closed and he drove off. It's like, I tried. He doesn't know that my whole life's been changed. And you know that he just drove off into the sunset. But the word and the rivers of living water, the incorruptible seed, and then the living water that flowed out of the guy, he just made himself available to the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, when we pack the word in our heart, it ruins us to sin. It gets us so aware of violating God's laws and God's plans that we have actually something governing our conscience. His word monitors us where we're quick to repent. Have you ever said something or done something and went, that was wrong, I repent. And it was humbling for you to say it. Especially when I'm with Patsy. I'll go, you know what, don't say anything after I say this. But I was wrong there. Don't say anything. And I remind her she's not the Holy Spirit. I said, don't say anything. The Holy Spirit is dealing with me. You jump on it, then I get defensive, and then I go back to ground zero, you know? So anyway, this is something that God warns us about in Matthew 15:8. It says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Boy, I don't want that ever to be said over my life. I want to walk in the Spirit and understand the power of the heart surrendered to the Lord. Here's what's encouraging. One time a guy was struggling down at Billy Joe Doherty's church. He's trying to get a sermon together, and a visiting preacher said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm just struggling trying to prepare this message." He said, "What do you do when you're in a situation like that?" He said, "When I have a limited amount of time and I have to come up with something to give to people, I prepare my heart. If I prepare my heart, the message will come." Now, I'm paralleling that in preaching, but let's just forget about the example. If we, according to Proverbs 4, guard our hearts and tend to our hearts with all diligence, because we know the springs of life flow from there, it's going to put us at a sensitivity level where we might just increase our part in responsiveness to the amazing miracles God has planned for each one of us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I have to guard my heart because it can grow dull, it can become calloused, it can become hardened, it can become so blunted by the circumstances of life that I'm not even receptive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I just don't want that. I treasure usability in God. I treasure the idea that God may want to do translate something through my little brief earthly life that will have eternal consequences and significance in other people's lives. Do you guys value that?
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says we are to covet earnestly these kinds of things. We're to desire fruitfulness. In fact, this is something we should set our sights on right now. Let's just do it right now. God, I'm trusting you for increased fruitfulness this year.
Yes.
Amen. Our country is going to do daylight savings time longer this year. Did you know that? You know why? So we have more daylight to go do great things for God. Be less depressed. Are you happy about that, Patsy? So it's starting in 3 weeks, and it's going to end in November. Instead of that little short time, and then we go on at least four hours a day of sun. You get up in the morning, Scott says he goes to work in the dark, comes back in the dark. That's not good for you, man. I say all that to say, Proverbs 21:2 says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." The Lord weighs the heart. So as we're watching over our heart with all diligence, letting the waves and rivers of God wash over him, we're doing it in order that we're going to be ready for this thing called springs of living water to flow. Remember what Peter and John said. Hey, we don't have any money on us right now, but what we have, we give. What we have, we give. Say that. What we have, we give. Now, there is an assumption there that we have something. Well, Peter and John did. They were the apostles. They had halos. Haven't you seen the stained glass and stuff? Yeah, I have. But actually, such as we have, we give. And they were, well, they were geared up. They were going to the hour to pray. Well, see, if we live in a life of prayer, if we live in an attitude of availability to God. So this is what I like about my dentist. He became yielded to the Holy Spirit, and God catalytically used him to spread something that's gone over, how many kids did it say on there? Over 1 million disadvantaged kids got helped from a catalytic idea through a believer. I love that.
In St. Louis alone, over
$250,000 of dentistry. Now, that I may have lost you on that because you're not dentists, and I'm not a dentist either, but it makes the point clear. It's not strictly just relegated to a pulpit ministry. It's not just strictly happening in the confines of church activities and services. We do these things in order that we're going to have some sort of awareness heightened as we hear the word and the collective benefit of being around like-minded people to stir us to trust God for some exploits to take place. The people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And I want to get to know him. And I've had this thing called a drift factor. I've noticed this in my yard. You could cultivate and plant beautiful plants, but if you leave them alone, it'll go back to Missouri Prairie and you'll have bison running in your yard. You know, and I mean, now I'm at the age where if I let my eyebrows go, I mean, they're like those shelves. But no, I mean, the other day Denise cut my hair and she just didn't even ask. She just clipped these like mile long hairs I was using for shade. They were like a visor. Guard your heart with all diligence. As we do our best to try to look our best and that type of thing and stay in some measure of shape and that sort of thing, we take care of heart health and we take care of our bodies as we're supposed to as Christians. We realize the fundamental priority is tend to your heart. You know, I think about young Hollywood right now. Kids coming out of Sunday school and they go out to be big stars and, you know, they're all lined up in rehab. Kids are taking distorted cues from them. You guys, the world is really, really struggling with itself. And it needs spiritual paramedics that are sensitized. You know, not religionized, not holier than thou-ized, you know, not spooky-ized, but just sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Like, hey, man, you know, and just being led by the Spirit. Is that, can we talk here? This is important. You say, Pastor, why are you excited about the dentist? Because an idea translated into a million people, it'll go even beyond that. Listen, I've had some of you guys pray me through the pit. Patsy and I through the pit. I know we are today where we are because people have guarded their hearts and tended to their hearts, yielded to the Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me, I prayed for you. What were you doing at 3 a.m? Oh, I was struggling. I was having a hard time sleeping. Well, me too. And I stayed up and prayed for you. Well, thank you. Now I got back to sleep. Well, I didn't. You hear this Tony Dungy, coach? Okay, I love these sports stories. Listen to this one. About rivers of living water. Listen to this. And your heart life. After the 2001 season, Tony got fired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coach Dungy became the Colts coach, Indiana Colts coach in 2002. You know, he's the guy that, this is the coach that won the World Series or whatever you call it. 2003 team lost in the AFC Championship to New England. So they lost at the championship level last 2003. 2004, the Colts went out and lost to New England again in the playoffs. The 2005 team won its first 13 games, then came to the playoffs and another loss, this time to Pittsburgh. Frazier said, Dungy's personal tragedy, the suicide of his son in December of 2005, and the deaths of family members of Colts players, Gary Brackett and Reggie Wayne, helped the Colts persevere through the season. This is what that they pulled together in a time of trouble. Now, this guy's a Christian. Okay, this guy's got his heart with God. The next season in 2007... he went on to win the Super Bowl. He was interviewed on the platform when they got the Vince Lombardi trophy. And the owner first said, you know, praise to God, and the owner of the team. And then the coach got on there. The coach is an African-American, and they asked about the social aspect of these, for the first time, African-American coaches. He said, I'm proud to be representing African-American coaches. To be the first African-American to win this, that means an awful lot to our country. But again, more than anything, I've said it before, Lovie Smith and I, not only the first two African Americans, but Christian coaches, showing that you can win doing it the Lord's way, we're more proud of that, Dungy told Nance in the interview. Now, this guy had to guard his heart. He got let go from the Buccaneers when he had built an amazing team, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. He kept his attitude right. I saw him interviewed after his son tragically committed suicide and how crushed he was. I saw him coping with the losses on his team. This is a heart type of guy. In fact, he said, listen, gather up. Listen to me now. My voice will not get any higher than this. I'm not a yeller. You're going to have to listen closely when I talk to you because I just don't yell. He's just got a godly kind of a thing on him. And rivers of living water are flowing through this guy. He went through all this trial, all this tragedy, all this looked like it was he was heaped up with all this side stuff. And then he gets this moment to step up, and he's flowing with rivers of living water. You say, well, that's cool for a football coach and some sort of platform, but we all have a calling to be a coach, and we all have a platform. God's called us to cheer people forward toward Jesus. Okay? It says, but the real test of the champion is, can you continue to fight when things don't go your way?
Yeah.
Here's another one. I think the Lord tests you sometimes to see if you're going to keep the faith and hang in there. And I think we did.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Here's another one. I think the disappointment that you have along the way can make it feel that much better when you finally do accomplish something.
Hallelujah.
And Frazier says, it's moments like those where Tony looks back and sees, as tragic as what happened a year ago was, there have been a lot of lives that have been changed for the better.
Right.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
How does this tie together? It ties together this way. Deuteronomy 6:5, we're to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I know that before I became a Christian, I started getting interested in spiritual things. But it wasn't until I had something happen to me where I got so desperate that I had to have God. God did it. And God wants to do that in us tonight. We're going to pray a consecration prayer of undivided commitment. I have an undivided heart. If you've not given your life to Jesus, then this is a time you could surrender your heart to the Lord 100%. Give Him your heart and surrender to Him. If you've had a divided heart where you've loved the world and you've loved God, you know the Bible says you can't love one and hate the other. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. You can't serve two masters. So one of the ways we guard and watch over our heart is we keep our heart from being divided. And we just make sure every day we get as a living sacrifice up on the altar and say, Lord, not my will, your will. The electromagnetic current of the world, I pray you deliver me from temptation and you help me to stay focused on what matters most. Yeah. You know, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So God, help me keep stirring up a fresh fervency. There's a man named David Brainerd back in the 1700s. He's a young man. He had a heart for the Native Americans, and he ministered to Indians through a pagan interpreter who could barely translate. But this guy prayed with so much fervor that his prayer had a major impact. Where there was a breakdown in communication, where he didn't have the best interpreter, where, you know, he struggled with all kinds of other issues, what overcompensated for it was the heart. I saw that in that Coach Dungy. It was not a flash type of loud, enthusiastic guy. He was a heart guy. And it actually shows that God doesn't just use what we think, the thing where only God can flow through a certain place. What if there are miracles for us, rivers of living water, God wants to have flow, that necessitate that we just really, really put a guard on our heart. Put a guard on your mouth. Cast down imaginations. Keep, you know, be quick to repent. If you sense your heart drifting, go close the, turn off whatever you have to and close the door and just surrender and just get before the Lord and get it fixed. Because, not just because you want to maintain a real wholesome Christianity, but where you know that God designed you to be a conduit of His blessing and He doesn't want anything short-circuited that would stop the flow. I knew I needed to have a responsibility to take care of my heart and go get it checked with the doctor and then checked with a cardiologist because I have responsibility over my health. Proverbs tells me, I know, he's telling me, you better check your heart. Most of my mentors, a lot of them have gone. And so I'm having to step it up. And in this church, we don't have an accountability system where we're, you know, knocking on your door and calling you and, you know, are you walking with God? You sinning? I'm just checking. I know it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I knew this was the time I'd call you and check on you. No, it's like we are accountable before God, knowing, and the incentive here is God just might want to flow some amazing stuff through you. Are you catching? And please get comfortable with that idea, because some of the greatest miracles that are going to happen in this church are actually going to happen through you when we're not even in meetings.
Yeah.
Some cool stuff where you'll go, whoa, I just think God just used me just then.
Yep.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
This is the Jesus life we're called to. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is what's wonderful. This is what God's called us to. It's awesome. He said, signs and wonders follow believers. How many of you would like to have some amazing things happen through your life?
Oh, yeah.
Now, we are addicted to the sensational, but I'll tell you, the supernatural sometimes comes in a whisper. But it has deep, long-range ramifications. Father, thank you for calling us to deep, long ramifications. Father, I thank you for leading us and guiding us out of cold-heartedness, hard-heartedness, vague-heartedness. God, you know, we all have our own opinions about things, but you test and search the hearts. You know what our motives are. You know our down-sitting and our uprising. And God, I pray you help us as a church. God, I guess what I'm saying is I want to be a true heart Christian by your definition. And God, I just pray our whole church would swing into harmony with you. I pray all of our kids tomorrow become heart Christians where they want to give their heart to you, not because their parents imposed it, not because of peer pressure, not because of just conditioning or mob mentality or crowd thinking, but that they, each one of us, God, you've told us from it flow the springs of life. There's an anointing that abides within us. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit. God, for healing, for salvation, for answers, for help for people, for counsel, for comfort. to bring a word in season to people. How many of you want those things to happen? You want to win people to the Lord, be effective, pray, move in mountains. God, I just ask that you would just help us to keep the weights, the encumbrances, the short circuit things, the things that numb and dull, the sin that so easily besets. God, I'm trusting you to rescue us from the snare of the devil. I pray, God, you put a deal on us where we just absolutely get just disgusted with sin. Help us to line up with heaven. Help us to get disgusted with our own sin so we can get so hungry for the flow of your Spirit where we just want to stay tender and sensitive to your voice. Next time we get tempted to murmur, gossip, complain, God, help us with, put a guard on our mouths, God. Who could bridle the tongue? Only God, your help, only your help can cause us to bridle our tongues. How can we cast down imaginations, God? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we trust you, God, right now to just move mightily in our hearts. I pray for people whose hearts have grown cold. How many of you would say, man, I need the fire stirred up in my heart. Let me see your hands. God, I pray you stir up the fire. But actually, Paul told Timothy, you kindle afresh the gift that's in you. You stir it up. You stir it up. You just get before the Lord and say, God, I'm just going to stand here and trust you to turn my heart back into a blaze. Father, right now I pray there'd be a fire in the hearts of the people in this place. The power of your Holy Spirit would flow mightily in this place in the name of Jesus. God, I pray you get us all ready for more sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit. Clear out our spiritual perceptions and help us to be sensitized to your voice. Do you ever feel dull spiritually? Has anyone ever just kind of felt like, you know, you were trying to scratch your head, but you had a bike helmet on while you were scratching it? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I believe God, who is faithful, to address that right now. I think He wants us sensitive to the Spirit more than we do. Who would like to become more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Okay, that God put that in your heart. And it's not a vain thing to trust God for it right now. I think we all need help walking. We need each other. We need to stand. We need this opportunity to be together in an environment where we're just trying to keep it real and we're trusting the biblical Jesus to come in and do a great and amazing thing in our hearts. And He's faithful for that. God is good. Unique situations get thrown at us. Isn't that right? I mean, you're in a total turnaround, man, and you're in the real deal. And it's going to last. Look at me. I was 16. Now I'm 51 almost. God has been faithful to me. He'll keep you out of false stuff, keep you out of winds of doctrine and cultic stuff. He'll keep you right in the basic gospel and help you walk all the way to the end where you get to stand with the Lord forever. And it's amazing. All right, let's pray together. Just heads up, eyes open. Let's say this together. Heavenly Father, I submit and surrender to your will as best as I know how. Tonight, God, I give you my heart. I recommit and I rededicate and I reposition for your Holy Spirit to do many vital things through me. I no longer want to be selfish. I don't want to be easily distracted. I don't want to be lethargic, complacent, or dull. I'm trusting you, God, to get a hold of my life and flow rivers of living water through me. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, and that's final. I submit to you. I believe you died for me, and after that you rose from the dead. And I thank you for your reality, your love, and your presence, your mercy. I accept what you've done for me. And I thank you for forgiving me of all my sin, getting me back on track. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. Create a new life for me today. Use me to help others. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Right on.